We're going to talk Big Four sports and more today, sports fans from Los Angeles. It's Mark Elliott with the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast for Monday, November 18th. Thank you for stopping by. All right, here's what's cooking on the sports page today. We've got the best of Week 11 in the NFL. The college football playoff picture is getting murky. After the Tyson-Paul fight, there is a lot to be outraged about that we're going to get into. Their names are Dalton and Wembanyama. We'll talk about the present and their future coming up. Our NBA Mount Rushmore series continues, too, with the San Antonio Spurs. And that's what we got coming up for you today on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast. Now playing on Alexa, Spotify, Amazon, and at BigFourSportsUSA.com, where you can also read the sports page and hit us on the chat box. We'll have some fan interaction coming up, too, a little bit later on in the podcast. All right, let's get into the best of Week 11 in the NFL. As predicted last week, Buffalo beat Kansas City, handing them their first defeat of the season. I think many of us thought Buffalo would win that game. There's a good chance, though, we're going to see these two teams in the AFC Championship. I was thinking about this yesterday after watching Detroit play. They're kind of like Cobra Kai. They strike first, strike hard, with no mercy. They were without Sam Laporte at tight end and still put up 52 points on Jacksonville. The Lions look invincible. The Chargers avoided an overtime with Cincinnati with a four-play touchdown drive with only 45 seconds left, and they get their seventh win. Now, I've been telling you for weeks that the Chargers are a player. They continue to prove it week after week. Geno Smith put Seattle on his back and scrambled for a touchdown with 13 seconds left to beat San Francisco at Levi. You know, the 49ers, they just seem broken. I think they have too many injured players trying to play through injury. George Kittle missed the game yesterday. And seven more games to go, I think that's going to expose the 49ers. I'm having my doubts that they'll make the playoffs. The NFC West is still anybody's division. Arizona's 6-4. The Rams, 49ers, Seahawks are 5-5 with seven to go. Arizona seems to have the edge, though. I think it comes down to who is the most healthy and who gets the hottest with the last seven games to play. Who can figure out the Atlanta Falcons? I sure as hell can't. They got hammered in Denver by 32. I think the Falcons are pretenders. I don't think they go anywhere. They're in a weak division, and they're benefiting from it. Bo Nix, though, is going to be a special quarterback for Denver. They finally got their QB that they haven't had since Peyton Manning. You know, the difference is Jaden Daniels, they have coaching. Caleb Williams in Chicago does not. So I think you got to give Caleb Williams, like we said last week, a little room to breathe here, gang. The Steelers used six field goals to beat Baltimore to up a two-game lead in that division in the AFC North. Baltimore isn't who we thought they would be. Nor are the Steelers by that. I thought the Steelers were going to finish probably in a battle for third or fourth with Cleveland, and it's been completely flipped in the AFC North this season. Hey, and congratulations to my Las Vegas Raiders on losing their eighth game of the season, keeping their number one draft pick hopes alive. I just hope they don't do something stupid like firing Antonio Pierce. All right, so far this week I'm 10-3 picking games. I went 2-1 with my fantasy four picks, which means Vegas got me again so far this year. I haven't won money, haven't lost money. I'm back to zero. Tonight I have Houston beating Dallas in the Battle of Tejas. Overall, I'm at 65%, 72% with my fantasy four picks. And Geno Smith, damn you. You know, this is where karma comes back to bite you in the keister, man. You know, because I have ties to WVU, I bet against Geno Smith. I bet against Geno, and he sunk me with that touchdown run with 13 seconds to go at San Francisco, and I picked the 49ers in my pick four to win that game. You know, it's true. When you bet football games, you got to consider karma. You got to consider karma and where your ties lie. The NCAA college football rankings got murkier on Saturday. Our top five remained the same, but the jockeying now is coming from the 6-12 playoff positions. Kansas beat BYU, knocking the Cougars from the unbeaten and sinking them in the rankings. Georgia's win over Tennessee was huge for the Bulldogs, bad for the Volunteers. You know, it's tough for teams that, who lose late in the season to overcome those losses. Alabama, I think, really benefited more than Georgia from their win over Tennessee, moving them back within striking distance of the top five, even with two losses. Now, our top five, like I said, remain the same. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Indiana, and Penn State. You can check out the top 12 at BigFourSportsUSA.com. That's where all the juggling and where it's getting murky. Now, this Saturday, Ohio State and Indiana will get it on. We're going to find out if the Hoosiers are for real or not. Did you see the Tyson-Paul fight on Friday night? First of all, who was running the show for Netflix? Michael Buffering? It's a good joke if you know who Michael Buffer is. But this wasn't a fight. This was a money grab exhibition. That's all it was. 60 million tuned in on Netflix, and it was glitches galore. I don't know about you. It started buffering for me for like 3 minutes. I was like, okay, great. We're in the second round of the Tyson-Paul fight. I finally just got out of it, off the stream, re-signed back in, and it took me to the very beginning of the bouts, right before the preliminaries. And I was like, Jesus, God, what is going on here? So fortunately, jumped out again, rejoined, and it gave me the option to join live and got back into the fight. But Christmas Day, Netflix is taking care of two games. I believe it's the Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens, Texans, if I'm not mistaken. I hear CBS is producing it, but man, they got to get their act together. Christmas Day will have double the audience for those games. You know, so Jake Paul wins the fight in a decision. But like I said, it wasn't a fight. It was a money grab exhibition. I was absolutely wrong. I thought Mike Tyson was going to, you know, take care of business. I thought there would be three hits. Paul would hit Tyson, Tyson would hit Paul, and Paul would hit the floor, forgetting his name and sexual orientation. Didn't happen. Both these guys made out like banshees money-wise. Mike finishing the fight, you know, he was happy with that. But I think what was interesting, there was a lot of videos showing Mike preparing for this fight on TikTok and X. And I think a lot of those videos were taken before Mike got sick in July and had to back off the fight and postponing it until November. He certainly looked old in this fight. And he said he wasn't done fighting, but I think Mike should hang it up, don't you? Now, the real fight, we had two good fights in the preliminaries. The real fight was the ladies' bout between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Now, there has to be a better way to pick winners and losers. If you saw this fight, clearly, Serrano won the fight. I mean, tell me how in the hell you land 324 punches on 734 thrown, I think it was, versus Taylor, who landed 217 and threw about 529 punches. It was all a bullshit decision by the judges, you know. I mean, Taylor headbutted her, get a nice gash over the eye. To me, that should have benefited Serrano because she kept coming. Didn't bother her. You know, she wasn't in the corner going, cut me, Mick, cut me, Mick. But she was out there battling her ass off. She won that fight hands down. So there's got to be a way in 2024 to judge fights. We also saw a very good fight between Mario Barrios and Abel Ramos. They fought to a draw, and these guys were warriors, man. They both of them knocked each other on their ass. That was an entertaining fight. So I like those fights a hell of a lot better than Tyson and Paul, but there's a lot to be outraged about with that fight. But since if you were a Netflix subscriber, no skin off our ass, Tribula, right? It's just those people who decided to sign up just to watch it that got kind of a raw deal, in my opinion. All right, their names are Dalton Connect and Victor Wembanyama. Let's talk about Dalton Connect. He has been starting now for the last three games for the Lakers, and the Lakers are 3-0 during this time. Cam Reddish was starting, and he got an ankle injury, so he's out right now. But I think as Dalton plays on first string with LeBron James, he's improving. And as long as he continues to play the way he is, averaging 16 points as a starter, I think he stays. Moving D'Angelo Russell to the sixth man, I think, fits his role a little bit better than being the point guard. Austin Reeves clearly a better point guard than D'Angelo Russell is. But I think you're seeing the future of the Lakers' backcourt right now with Austin Reeves and Dalton Connect. As the Lakers move past LeBron James in a year or two, these guys are just going to be phenomenal players for the Lakers. And Dalton Connect, like I said, his defense needs to improve, but he's still a better defender than D'Angelo Russell. And I think that's why he gets the nod. Russell's that guy who can come off the bench and be that heater to get you quick points. And I think that he will adopt that role a little bit more. The Lakers just need to get healthy with that bench. They don't have a bench at all right now. So they need Vanderbilt back. They need Wood back. And we'll see how they go. You know, nicknames and athletes go hand in hand. Kind of like beer and pizza, I guess. But there are times, I think, when nicknames go a little too far. Like calling the Spurs Victor Wembanyama Wimby. When I hear Wimby, I see this big guy that's a tremendous basketball player being reduced to like Barney or Big Bird. Wimby. Sounds kind of wimpy to me. And when you have a name like Wembanyama, as an announcer and somebody who's made a living his entire career, his entire life as a broadcaster, you want opportunities like this. Wembanyama. When he slam dunks one, hits a three from 85 feet out. You want to play with that name and have fun with it. And then you reduce it down to Wimby. It just seems kind of odd to me, and maybe it's just my hang up on this, but when you drive the lane and you slam one and you just say Wimby with the slam, Wimby from 65 feet, nothing but net, it doesn't have the same impact as saying Wembanyama with the slam. Just doesn't have the same impact. And when you call him Wimby, all of a sudden I see Barney, this big purple, this big purple blob driving through the lane. So I hope that at some point, you know, the announcers that are employed today really have a hard time going past two syllables, but they need to work at it. They need to work at it. It's always the path of least resistance. This guy's got 12 letters in his name. It's three syllables. How in the hell can I do this? Let's just reduce it down to Wimby. All right, this week's NBA team-by-team Mount Rushmore features the San Antonio Spurs, oddly enough. You know, it wasn't hard to put this one together. I mean, the Spurs were never really a great team until they got into their championship years with Tim Duncan. So it really wasn't difficult to put this together. All the players kind of stand out, the top five, and that's it. David Robinson, Tim Duncan, George Gervin, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker. That's it. And I think at some point, you'll probably replace George Gervin with Victor Wembanyama because, you know, Ginobili, Parker, Duncan, and Robinson have NBA titles. Next week, we're going to focus on the Philadelphia 76ers. All right, let's get into the chat box at big4sportsusa.com. Typically, I keep these at three every week, but we're getting so much interaction now, I'm going to increase it to five. Brad P., Los Angeles, California. What do you think the Chargers and Rams' chances are of both teams making the playoffs? I think San Diego, there I go again. I still can't get used to calling them the Los Angeles Chargers, for Christ's sake. The Chargers have a better chance than the Rams. Although the Rams are getting healthy, playing a little bit better football. They've gone from 1-4 to 5-5. So they have an outside chance. But I think Arizona, again, might block them out at some point. But their chances are fairly good that the Rams and Chargers could make the playoffs at this point. We'll see in seven games. Sybil G. from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Should the Bucks fire Doc Rivers? I think Doc's on thin ice. I think when they brought Darvin Ham back, that Doc's days were numbers. They're 4-9 right now. After 25 games, if the Bucks don't turn this thing around pretty quick and look like they're heading and projecting upward, I think Doc's going to be out sooner than you think. Mike C. from Dayton, Ohio. What are your thoughts about the Reds trading Jonathan India? You know, I love Indy. He's a great player to have in the clubhouse. He's got guts. He reminds me of Pete Rose in so many ways with how he approaches the game. You know, you can hit him with a fastball at 105 miles an hour between the eyes. He would still run down the first base and shake it off and play. That's how tough this guy is. And you need guys like that on your team. However, the Reds have four solid starters. If they can add a fifth and Lodalo stays healthy, this is going to be one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Why do you think Tito took the manager's position with the Reds? He sees the potential. So I think you have to look at India and maybe pairing him up with some of your other prospects and going after that fifth starter, somebody that can either be the ace or fit in the middle. We'll see what they do. So I think it's time for Jonathan maybe to move on. The Reds have Matt McClain, and with Santiago Espinal coming off the bench, the Reds can afford to trade Jonathan into you right now, as much as I hate to see him go. Patrick H. from El Paso, Texas. What changes do the Dallas Cowboys need to make to contend again? You're going to make me talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, boy. Okay. Cowboys, to me, are like the Raiders. Okay, except they have a better quarterback. Dallas needs a running game, and they need tight ends. I thought it was a mistake for them to let Dalton Schultz go, and it showed. I mean, Dallas doesn't have a potent offense right now. You can't live with Dak and C.D. Lamb, and that's it. They need a number two, maybe a slot receiver, tight ends. They definitely need a running game, and if they get that together, their defense is still good enough to where I think Dallas will come back and can contend again. I don't put a lot of blame on Mike McCarthy. He's only able to coach the players that the Cowboys give him. And they kind of, and we saw this in the offseason last year, they did a salary dump. So I think Dallas is getting what they paid for right now. Marla W. in Park City, Utah. Does the Utah Hockey Club have a chance at making the playoffs? Man, it's so early in the season. Everybody's always talking about playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. We're talking about playoffs? They're a 500 team with a horrible defense, Marla. I mean, we're talking about the Phoenix Coyotes here with a different name, by the way. So unless they get this area cleaned up on the defensive end, get better goaltending, they're going to be exposed over an 82-game schedule. So anything is possible. But as of right now, I'm going to say no to the Utah Hockey Club making the playoffs. All right, it's official, gang. Starting January, the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast will be adding another episode on Thursdays. Why? Because we're growing like a weed. The audience is showing up. They're listening. They like what we're doing here. We're just talking sports, man. And the demand says, hey, put another episode on, man. So we're going to do it. Starting January 2nd, you'll get new episodes every Monday and Thursday every week. So Monday is going to be kind of like a recap of the weekend, and Thursday we're going to be setting up the sports coming up over the weekend, just in time for the NFL playoffs too. So we're looking forward to this coming up in January. That wraps up this episode of the Big Four Sports No Top. No, this wraps up. Easy for me to say at the end of the podcast. That wraps up the Big Four Sports No Autopsy No Foul podcast. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, and you'll never miss a podcast. You can find us at BigFourSportsUSA.com to listen and read the Big Four Sports page and hit us up on the chat box. We'll do this again next Monday, November 25th. Game over.